Several members of the U.S. Senate Committee on Foreign Relations probed a panel of experts on Tuesday that comprised a representative from the U.S. State Department, an opposition party leader, and a human rights lawyer, and an author, all from Zimbabwe, on the prospects of re-engagement now that there's a new leader at the helm. However, the opening remarks by the presiding senator, Jeff Flake, who described Zimbabwe as a nightmare and questioned how much change can be expected under President Mnangagwa, indicates that change may be long in coming.
President Mnangagwa is not unknown to us. Until his dismissal as first vice president last month, he'd been closely allied with President Mugabe since Mugabe's rise to power. He stands accused of orchestrating a string of massacres in the early 1980s, to consolidate Mugabe's power, leaving as many as 20,000 people dead in Matabele land.
Reference to the atrocities of the 80s in the Matabele land and Midlands regions, also referred to as Gukurahundi, were raised by almost all the Senate members, namely Democrats Cory Booker of New Jersey and Christopher Coons of Delaware, who also wanted to know what kind of reforms can be expected under Mnangagwa.
I think it's critical that the people of Zimbabwe not see one dictator replaced by another. I, for one, am reluctant to see us take any steps to lighten or relieve sanctions or other international restrictions on loans or partnership until we see concrete steps by the administration of Emmerson Mnangagwa and any successors.
To that, Honorable Stephanie Sullivan of the Bureau of African Affairs in the U.S. State Department, who was one of the panelists, gave the following key reforms that would signal a change from the U.S., including the lifting of sanctions.
As far as governance goes and respect for human rights, we would like to see immediate implementation of freedom of expression that has been lacking for decades in Zimbabwe, freedom of assembly. We are looking also for a free and responsible media, including social media, the preparations for the elections, that as I mentioned, anti-corruption. On the economic side, the country is crumbling under crushing debt. We also have a very low doing business environment there that is a deterrent, so we'd like to see an improved investment climate. In addition, in the security sector, we would like to see the security sector earn the trust of the citizens, and that would include police reforms.
Asked what they would like to see the U.S. do to ensure that true democracy takes place in Zimbabwe and that Mnangagwa and his government will be held accountable for their actions, human rights lawyer Dewa Mavinga urged the U.S. to work with African bodies such as the African Union.
The U.S. administration could strongly push the Southern African Development Community and the African Union and other players to insist on a roadmap for democratic elections and to then say, as my colleagues have said, that a key benchmark really to review relations is an independent assessment of the environment in which the 2018 elections are held. And this includes domestic and international observers to elections having full access to the country, to all parts of the country, without interference. And this would also include ensuring that watching closely the replacement of the chairperson of the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission, who has just resigned, that person who replaces is someone who is known to be independent, impartial, nonpartisan, and with the capacity to deliver a democratic election.
Opposition party leader Tendai Biti of the Progressive Democratic Party and the MDC Alliance stressed the importance of the U.S. staying engaged.
The United States Congress must continue to do what it has done very well in the past. Number one, interface with our people. The United States remains the biggest donor, the biggest supplier of overseas development assistance in Zimbabwe. You are very active in our health, sector. For instance, you used to call it humanitarian plus plus. That support must continue. because it's interfacing with our people. The support to the democratic processes, which you have been known for so many years, must continue.
Also on the panel to offer his perspective on Zimbabwe was author and journalist Peter Godwin.
One of the things to do is to do what they did in Lancaster House, which is that you bring together a huge pot of money. You basically put all the things that you would, and it's not necessarily new money, but you bring the international community together, all the donors, all the bilateral aid, etc., and you hold this thing out and you coordinate it and you say, if you meet these certain benchmarks, whatever, we will unlock this thing. That's the carrot. You have a stick where you say, and if you don't, then we're going to ratchet things up. And you kind of just basically make it even starker in their alternatives. The other thing, and I'm sort of almost even hesitant to even mention this, is that you flip the sanctions that you've got now, which is that, I'm not sure technically if it would be called a sort of reverse sunset clause, where you say, I'll tell you what we'll do. You've got this new government, whatever, we'll give you the benefit of the doubt for 6 months or say until the next elections. We're going to drop all the sanctions and whatever, but they'll automatically go back on if you don't meet these benchmarks, the benchmarks that we've all been talking about, the ones that there's pretty wide agreement on in civic society. And that way you take away the excuse of sanctions and whatever, you pull it back and you flip it. And that would be a way to prioritize the carrot over the stick and see if it mix it up and see if it works. I mean, my personal opinion is that I don't think it would, but sometimes that can be unlocked.
Reporting for VOA's Zimbabwe service, I'm Dimyake Mokalielie in Washington.